today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Kenneth Copeland and his special guest, Billy Rash, as they share how negative thinking can lead you in the wrong direction. Learn how to choose the right course of action in every situation.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We give you praise and honor that your word is alive, that the power of heaven resides right here in your word. We receive it. We thank you for it. We believe it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me again today in welcoming Billy Rash to this broadcast? Billy, God bless you, sir. Now, I told you yesterday, you named where we're going to start today. So let's go over there and look in Jude. I told people one time, I was in a little prayer group, and we were in somebody's home, and there's, you know, sitting right there in front of me. I said, let's open our Bibles over to the book of Jude. And I said, verse 11, they said, what chapter? Well, they were one chapter in the book. I said, chapter one.
Chapter one. It works.
And I couldn't hold a straight face. I finally busted out laughing. I messed up the whole deal, you know, because I wanted to just keep a straight face and say chapter one in verse 11. Woe unto them. Them who? All right, let's look and see them in the 10th verse. These speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? You just kind of logically come up with it because of just because. All right. What they know naturally as brute beasts in those things which they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. So obviously, if that's the way of Cain, then this is the way Cain corrupted himself. Right. The devil didn't corrupt him. He corrupted himself. You can blame a lot of stuff on the devil, but he can't make you do anything.
Right.
He can push, pressurize, he can lie and do all that. If you follow him and you do it, you will start that self-deception thing. And if he can sneak it in there on you, like in Mark 4, the sower sows the word. Everybody in that chapter there that Jesus was talking about heard the word and received it gladly. But then Satan began to pressure and do certain things, got their eyes off of it, and got in there with tradition, got in there with offense, got in there by keeping your eyes on the world and let the deceitfulness of riches and pressure from other things, cares of this world, entering in. You let it get in. Let this get in him, didn't he?
He did. He did. And you notice that it says he speak evil. So it started back to what you were saying the other day on the broadcast, words, speaking words out of that. But it says here, woe to them. So we know it's a negative thing. So the way of Cain is a way that's contrary. So I looked that word way up in the Greek. And it means a path, it means a highway, it means like a natural road. But it also means a course of conduct or a way of thinking.
Ah.
So if this is a negative, which it is, then we can take that word, and that's where I actually named it, the way of Cain. It means a course of action taken by Cain based on wrong thinking.
Wow.
And then it goes on saying, verse 12, the key here is, these are spots in your love feast, serving and around you without fear. So that means every time you and I get together in a service, every time we get together in a meeting, every time we study the Word, there are people right there among us who have made a decision, a choice, to travel in a way that is based on wrong thinking. So their spiritual condition. So in other words, the greed of Balaam, greediness we see played out in the world system, the rebellion. We've never seen a time on the planet where rebellion is
not like it is now. Not my lifetime.
Not
either.
Mine either. And
or actually not in historical life. I haven't been able to find it anywhere except many, many generations ago in the Word of God. But I've never seen or heard of anything like
that. But the greed also, from corporate greed to private individual greed to government greed to union greed, it's like it's running. But we ignore this way of Cain. It's running out there too. And these are spots in your feast, which means in your love feast. They're there. And if you take that back to 2 Peter 2 and you look over there where it talks about spots and blemishes, in spots and blemishes, it talks about deception.
Let's go over and read that.
2 Peter 2.
Okay.
I'm looking for the place my Bible went.
You brought, that's what you get for bringing
a
new
Bible that I haven't broke in yet.
That's what you get, buddy. Amen.
But he talks about how because of deception, because of those who are
13th verse
spots and blemishes in there, it says, therefore submit you to every ordinance for the Lord's sake, whether to the King and Supreme. And I'm reading out of the New King James. This is also a New King James I brought to try to bring this in here. He talks about the spots and blemishes that are among you. And they're here, and I'm trying to find exactly where it calls those spots and blemishes.
That's the 13th verse.
He said, therefore,
2:13
in 1 Peter, or is it 2
Peter?
2 Peter. I went. That's why I missed it.
And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that, count it pleasure to write in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you.
And you notice verse 12 says the natural brute beast, same terminology that was used in Jude. But the word that I caught here and I want us to see is it says carousing in their own deceptions. So to be a spot and blemish, deception is involved. So if deception is involved, and that means that people are around us in our love feast, in our time of gathering, that are deceived. So the way of Cain is a way of walking in deception, and in Cain's case, self-deception. And that's the most powerful deception that exists.
Yeah, because you don't know it's there.
Exactly. That's where I believe that these people that make traditions more powerful than the Word are self-deceived, because they'll almost fight you for their tradition.
Well, you mean almost.
They will fight you.
But, you know, back when I first went in this ministry, I was still a student there at Oral Roberts University, and I was spending a lot of time before God because He had called me out of school in full-time ministry, and it was right at the very beginning of it. And I was seeking God for concept and His plan. If you're going to pray, thy will be done, you need to know what that will is, that plan is, that He's planned for you. Not making a difference what my plans are. His are the ones that succeed. Well, I just learned that. And after quite some time, the Word of the Lord came to me. He said, I have a sleeping giant in the earth. Well, when He said it, I had a knowing in me. Now, I don't mean I heard it with these ears. These things will get you messed up. You look in here, in your spirit being. He said, I knew when He said it, He's talking about full gospel, spirit-filled people, good people, but they're asleep. He said, they're asleep in the earth, and I'm going to wake them up. Well, I glory to God, hallelujah. And he said, you're the needle. Oh. Lord, no, please don't do that. I don't want to needle anybody. Yeah, he said, you're the needle. I said, okay, if that's the plan, but I can't go out and try to be a needle. That get me and them both in trouble. I have just preached the word. Billy, you were there in some of those deals. I mean, it just seemed like the thing to say at the time. I'm just preaching the word, and it just come out, make people so mad they couldn't. Some of them get up and leave, man. Right? And I didn't realize what I'd said until I had time to think about it. And I go back, I thought, oh, that's the needle anointing. It is hit again.
Some of them would yell at you. They'd get up and yell.
Yeah,
and, you know, my job was back then was to take them out. And you know, I don't mean kill them. I mean take them out of the meeting.
Billy, go see to that. I remember that.
You did that to me one time, and this guy was about 6'6", and I stopped him because it was in Detroit, Cobo Hall, and he was yelling at you, and I stepped in front of him, and he picked me up and set me out of the way, and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, what am I going to do about this? And, you know, then Ray Shankly, remember Ray Shankly?
Yeah.
He was big as he was, stopped him and said, the man told you to stop. And he listened to him. So I told Ray, more than a conqueror. But you plowed ground. You didn't plow ground. You plowed rock.
Yeah,
it was.
It was like digging in a room.
That needle anointing, if you think about that, was nothing but you there, preaching the word.
There were people back then that contacted me later. And they said, Brother Copeland, that just fired up off, just fired in me. He said, just really made me mad. And he said, I got home and I thought, who's he think he is? Come down here. You know, that young whippersnapper from Texas come down here telling me that. And getting my Bible, and I'm gonna prove him wrong, and I'm gonna get in his face. And he said, Brother Copeland, I looked all over that Bible, and he said, what I was believing wasn't even in there. And he said, I kept running across what you were saying. And he said, I began to realize that I was not believing the scripture at all. I was believing an idea that I had that I assumed was correct, and I really thought it was in the Bible. That's exactly what we're talking about.
But that's self-deception. And you remember back in Genesis, which comes out of the way of Cain. Woe to those have gone the way of Cain. In fact, look at Genesis 4, and you'll see where Cain was doing this very thing that you just described. It says in Genesis 4, the very first verse, it says, now Cain, Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bore Cain and said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Somehow, tradition is written in there that Abel had a honorable profession and Cain was a tiller of the ground. He didn't, but it doesn't say that at all. It just tells you what they did for a living. And it says, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Now, they both knew to bring an offering to God. So they both had the same instruction problem from Adam, their father.
Well, you know it was. That's where he messed up. He's doing his best to teach them. Obviously, after he failed, where his tithe was concerned and the fruit off that tree that God, he had to till the ground. He was supposed to take care of that tree and pick the fruit, but he's not supposed to eat it. It wasn't his.
Yep.
Had he taken it to God, God would have fed it to him and he would have learned both good and evil without having to know the evil. Jesus knew both good and evil and he never sinned.
Never did.
So he didn't learn it by experience. He learned it from the Word.
But it goes back to what you said at yesterday's broadcast. Adam stole. His first sin was, yes, out of the rebellion, disobedience. but he stole the first fruits. Yeah. But Abel offered firstlings, the firstborn, but it doesn't say that about Cain. Cain, it would have said firstborn or first of his fruit if it would have been first. What we call in Texas the nubs. Cain just brought the leftovers. So the sin of Cain is the same sin of Adam, which was stealing the first fruits. Cain so self-deceived himself that he thought, like a lot of people do today, I can give whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. And because I'm presenting or doing it to God, God will bless it.
He did take it to God.
He did take it. He made an offering. And so therefore you would think, well, God will just be so proud of me. I'm bringing him something. But that's not what God told him to do.
What did our traditions do with that scripture?
Yeah.
We taught, grandma taught it and we bought it, that the reason Cain got in trouble is because he didn't take a lamb.
Exactly. Blood offering. I actually thought that. I actually talked to you on the phone about that. We think that Adam's offering was acceptable because it was a blood offering, but the blood covenant, the Levitical priesthood wasn't in then.
No, and besides that, there's nowhere a man was supposed to take first fruits of somebody else's blessing and take it to God. It would have been fine if he's making a sacrifice before God, if he went and got a lamb from his brother. But that's not what the scripture says about tithing. It says you bring the first fruits of your increase. He was a tiller of the ground.
Right.
He was supposed to be bringing the first fruits of his increase.
But it doesn't say first fruits, so therefore he brought what was left. He ate what was God's, the first fruit.
But you know, right there in the third verse says, in the process of time it came to pass. If you study that out, which you've probably already done, it says, well, right here in the cross-reference, it says, at the end of days, he took his tithe at the end of the growing season instead of the beginning. Like you've talked about earlier.
Yeah. It wasn't first fruits.
No, he took it at the end of the season, which is probably the third picking off of that stuff. You don't know what the end of season is. It ain't fit to eat, man. People use that stuff to feed cows and stuff with. So he literally took cattle food to God. He kept all the best.
Had already eaten it. So that, and when you take what is God's, he didn't have to return to God his. He had his own stuff, Cain's. He had to return to God what was God's. And when you take something that belongs to another person, it's stealing. And the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. In the Today English Version and the New Century Version, they actually says, and the Amplified, and the thief cometh in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that have it more life. Well, we always think that in order means the why. But it could actually, and I believe it actually is telling us the spiritual order. You start stealing the first fruit, stealing, and then when you steal, then that word kill means to sacrifice, offer up a first fruit to God. Then you kill, and then the blessing gets destroyed that's in your life, the fruitfulness. But Cain got angry at God. And there's the key. If he was giving God what God had told him to give in his mind, then why did he get angry when God didn't receive it? He got angry because he had self-deceived himself into believing God would accept it. And when God didn't, he got angry. So there's the key to the way of Cain, self-deception to the point that you redefine what is acceptable.
Yeah.
Cain thought God would accept it.
You know what, Billy? He thought God would accept that, but think about it. He didn't have any honor for God. He just did it because he's supposed to. Had he had any honor for God, he would have never had any idea about taking him the nubbins. I mean, there wouldn't have been any. Abel not only took the first, he took more. He took and the fat thereof. And like Brother Keith Moore said, he took Fluffy.
Fluffy.
Little Fluffy. Oh, the best one he had, the kid's little lamb. Oh, and he took Fluffy to give him to God because he had respect for God. And he had honor for God. This man didn't have any honor for God, and he got mad at him. If he'd honored him, he wouldn't have got mad at him. But the anger with which he got mad at God, he took out on Abel because in his eyes, Abel represented God, and he killed him.
And then when God came to him and he got angry, he said, am I my brother's keeper? And so once you get self-deceived and you start stealing, robbing God, when you start that stealing and get self-deceived, it causes you to care less about what anybody else does. It causes you don't even care because I'm serving God this way. That's why they got angry at you, is because you were preaching the word and it was contrary to what they had deceived themselves into believing. Like, I don't have to offer tithe. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to study.
I'm free of that bondage.
I'm free. And so then in turn, they're self-deceived, which is what Cain did.
Gracious sake. My goodness, Billy. That's powerful stuff. Man, 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 oh man. Billy and I'll be back in just a moment.
Attitude, mindset, action, success. It all takes a decision to learn God's plan, His way of thinking, and make the commitment to change your life. Set yourself up for victory with the Think Different, Live Different package. The Way of Cain by Dr. Billy Rash shines light on the dark path of self-deception and presents biblical solutions that will set you free to live a successful life. Break through your old way of thinking and learn to identify God's ways. Also included in this package is Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's Your 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan for Building Relationships That Last, the daily devotions, scripture cards, scriptures on CD, worship music, and a teaching DVD are all designed to help guide you step by step into a blessed life. Don't let the blessing pass you by. Know God's ways for your attitudes, actions, and decisions. Choose to think, act, and live differently today. Order the Think Different, Live Different package today at a special 35% savings. For just $22, you'll receive the new book by Billy Rash, The Way of Cain, and the Lifeline Kit from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, your 10-day spiritual action plan for building relationships that last. For additional product discounts and 48-hour processing, order online. Get out of the curse and into the way of the blessing. For these and other ministry resources from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, go to our website.
I want you to listen to something now very carefully. You need the concept of this. When people come to Jesus, every sin in your life, I don't care what your past has in it, Jesus has already paid that debt. Back in the Roman days, they'd take a list of your crimes and they nailed it up on the door of your cell. And when your sentence was up, we still use that same term today, you paid your debt to society. When your sentence was up, they stamped paid in full on that list of crimes. When Jesus cried out, it is finished. It's the same word, same Greek word that they wrote on those, that list of crimes. He actually said, it's paid in full.
Praise God.
So when you come to Jesus, your debt's already paid with God. It's not a matter of His having to deal with your sin at that moment. He already dealt with it when He went to the cross. He went to hell and paid the price for it. He's been raised from the dead. Now, when you and I come to Him and receive the gift of righteousness, this is a big thing, Billy, and it's been traditionally just walked all over, that you receive His gift of righteousness to you. Now, which is the forgiving and the cleansing of all that the effect that sin's had on your life. And he said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So that is a direct promise. And then he uses, in the rest of that chapter, he uses the word whosoever. When I found whosoever, man, I thought, that means me, man. Praise God. You just pray this out loud right now. Oh, God in heaven, I believe with all my heart Jesus has been raised from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I repent of sin. I renounce the devil and everything he stands for. And I receive your gift of salvation to me. You paid for it, and I take it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you contact us, I'll send you this little book, free and postpaid, to help you get started learning and studying your Bible. We'll see you tomorrow. Remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on today's Believer's Voice of Victory. If you made Jesus the Lord of your life today, we at Kenneth Copeland Ministries would love to welcome you to the family of God. We'd like to send you some free information to help you start walking on your new path of life. Request your free salvation package on our website at kcm.org, or you may call or write to us today. A book, He Did It All For You, and a brochure on how to study your Bible. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right. Come to these exciting meetings. The Copelands welcome you the 10th through 12th of November to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. The Branson Victory Campaign with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, the 8th through 10th of March, 2012, at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Living Victory West Coast Faith Encounter, Anaheim, California, with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher. Dates to be announced. The European Victory Campaign. Celebrate 30 years in Europe with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, May 10th through 12th at the Excel Center in London, UK. Living Victory Pacific Rim Faith Encounter, June 15th and 16th with Kenneth Copeland. Hosted by Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher at Word of Life Church in Honolulu, Hawaii. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org. The world around you is changing every day, but one thing remains the same, God's Word. The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine is full of life-changing teaching that will help you and your family live in the fullness of God's blessing. Build your faith as you read Word-based teachings from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and the real-life stories of believers from around the world. Request your free subscription today, The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Words you can build your life upon.